On today's edition of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh and I discuss the Brooklyn Nets roster and how far they've come in just 2 years. We talk about all the players dropping out of Team USA, and we answer the question, where has Josh been? All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Nets podcast. It's been a little while, but finally we're back on the same page. Josh Bass, your tried and true lifelong Nets fan, here with my man Marcus Barahal, always here to keep me sane with the highs and lows of the Brooklyn Nets. Marcus, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Josh. I missed you. I'm glad you're back safe at home in the city. I know you had a bit of a journey getting back from your second most recent work trip. Now you took another one.
I did.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, but also ventured into the Kansas part. And I think I like the Missouri part better, but I do like Kansas. Had some incredible barbecue. Shout out to Joe's in Kansas City, Kansas. Excellent. Unfortunately, I was delayed for a full day there. So being delayed for that full day, of course, what I did is try to go around, and since they don't have an NBA team there, indoctrinate everyone with Nets knowledge and Nets gear to hopefully generate some new fans in the Midwest.
Did it work?
You know, I think I have to go back in a year or so to see like how many Brooklyn Nets hats and shirts there are.
Yeah, you just planted the seed. There's no trees yet, but maybe someday.
Yeah, I love when I go to the anywhere basically besides. Pretty much anywhere, actually. And people like ask me where I'm from. I'll say New York, and we'll get to talking about sports. And then they're so surprised that I'm a Nets fan.
Can't say that happens to me.
Even at my barber shop, it happened. They were so surprised.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that. Isn't your barber is like kind of a celebrity, right?
Boris?
Isn't he you share her barber with David Jacoby?
Oh, yeah. Lucas. Yeah, and also I found out a couple of people from work also go. It's a great shop, and shout out to Headlines on 27th.
That's a great name.
It's a great name. Give me some free advertising, hopefully. But they're good dudes and give a good haircut. And then I just got back pretty much a few hours after we're recording this from Costa Rica. Pura vida, Marcus.
Yeah, you texted me that. excited to see if you've adopted that lifestyle.
Yeah, I do like a shaka, like hand motion now. I'm very much into the Costa Rican lifestyle. And also there, you know the thing where it's like some of these like kids from either like a remote part of Europe or Africa, and like someone's on a trip there, and then they just find them and like, oh, I think this kid can play basketball. And they like try to mentor them and bring them to the States over time and really like help them get a scholarship. I was trying to do that. I was like looking out for anyone in Costa Rica that was like 6'6 or above, and I'm like, oh, maybe I could like teach them about basketball and they could play in the NBA with the Nets, like kind of under my stewardship.
And again, did it work?
No, it didn't. Okay. I had my eyes peeled throughout the Papagayo Peninsula, but unfortunately did not find anyone.
That's a shame. A lot of pool time for you though, I noticed.
Not that much pool time. We did like an ocean rescue thing where we had to like swim out into the ocean. We were blindfolded at first. We removed the blindfolds, scanned the situation, and then like swim out and rescue someone, which was pretty exhausting. Frankly, I'm not, you know, it's like saying I sit behind the microphone and talk about basketball. I don't necessarily play basketball. It's the same thing like that. I would rather podcast about the ocean rescues that other people were doing.
Is this like related to your job?
We could talk off. No, it's not. Okay. We do something active in the mornings, and then the afternoon we get down to business with multiple sessions.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering if you're doing any kind of like financial talk out on the water, swimming out to some giant briefcase of money or something.
we do CPR, and once we revive the victim, we basically ask them who their money manager is. But on to the Nets. There's been some news. We had a couple signings. David Nwaba, a guy who's bounced around the league the last couple of years. I think, where is he? Lakers, Bulls, some other teams. And then
Cavs.
And then Henry Ellenson, was a really highly touted high school recruit, five-star, went to Marquette, played one season there, was drafted in the first round by the Pistons. He's kind of like a stretch big that unfortunately can't really hit anything. But he's not a great athlete, kind of stuck in between that four and the five. He would have been perfect like 10 years ago as a guy that could kind of have some interesting upside. But best case for him is that he's able to iron out his shot with the Nets, hopefully reform his body a little bit and get into better shape. So especially for someone like him where he's not the quickest defensively, he really needs to be in tip-top shape to even be able to compete because he doesn't have the size and strength to play at the five. But we'll see what the Nets can do with him. He shot 35% from three in his career. Marcus, you watched him a little bit with the Knicks last year. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I said it on the last podcast. I think he's a guy, because he's just signed to a two-way, but he's a guy who, like, if you bring him in, he's not going to, like, miss a step and can play, like, 10 minutes without, like, killing your team. So I think it's a good depth signing, and I think that it's kind of similar to, even though they're different skill-wise, it's kind of similar to Alan Williams last year, where it's just another guy who I feel like could get thrown in and just like be semi-productive in a short amount of time.
Right. So also someone that could lead the Long Island Nets.
Hopefully, yeah. Got to get back to the finals.
And the Nets also don't have a stretch big right now. You know, obviously Kevin Durant's going to be that guy when he comes back that's basically a four and can drain threes like no one's business. But you look at their big men right now, Jared Allen, obviously no. DeAndre, obviously no. And then Nick Claxton, way too early and didn't shoot the three that well in college. So if you want to have like a stretch big type, it's probably going to be Ellinson in this roster. It doesn't mean he's going to play very much, but he's the one that can really develop the skill set in the medium term, I'd say.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. I wonder if like if Kenny ever wants to go five out, does he play like Rhodey at the five for like a very short time? I don't know if that would work, but maybe like him and Prince and like Temple as like the front court. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about Temple. Yeah, I think that would probably be it. I don't know how often. I think it's good to have that vertical spacer. So I don't think I actually like the kind of four out one in system, even though I do see the merits to a five out. But yeah, we'll see what they can make of Ellinson. I mean, I feel like I'm going to call him Hillinson the whole time. But yeah, he's on a two way, so no risk there.
Yeah, exactly. And I know you're like semi high on David Nwaba, right?
I like Nwaba. Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He really has no offensive skill set to speak of. And he's kind of been on a disservice with some of the teams he's been on this in his career, especially Cleveland this past year. He played a lot for them. I mean, he's played a lot the last 2 years. 70 games for the Bulls at 23 minutes a game. 51 games with Cleveland at 20 minutes a night. He pretty much has really no offensive game to speak of. He's a pretty reluctant and poor three-point shooter, even though his percentages don't look that bad. He's like a slasher type. Can get to the basket in the open court, but really not going to be able to create his own shot in the half court. But he's tenacious. He's a very good defender. He's long. He's a 7-foot wingspan or something, which is crazy because he's only 6'3 or 6'4. Can get a lot of steals, can get up for blocks. So he's kind of like a little bit bigger. Like his ideal scenario is he becomes even half of what like a Patrick Beverley is at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to make that comparison. And I actually have seen like a lot of players on Twitter who are like, oh, this is like a great signing. Like, so I think he's well regarded, at least for his defense around the league. So like he's known as a pesky kind of guy. Is pesky a word? Like he's a pest. I don't know. Pesky. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's kind of known as that around the league. So I think that he at least can command that respect. Whereas there are some guys who like, even if they're better than their reputation kind of makes it so that they're always getting attacked on defense. So at the very least, I don't think that'll happen to him.
Yeah, and it's just it's a 2-year deal for him. So
yeah,
only half of that is guaranteed. So really a low risk signing, and this could pay off. But yeah, so similar to what they did with Napier last year, obviously a much different type of player, but get him on a 2-year deal. That second year is non-guaranteed. Obviously, it's a very tradable contract if you need to move him. But worst case, he gives you some nice depth minutes, especially if something happens to Kyrie or LeVert or Dinwiddie. It's not like those guys are all three the beacons of health. So Nwaba, hopefully not, but could be forced into some rotation minutes if need be. And I think he could handle that in a pinch.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the same thing I said with Ellinson, where he can play for a little bit and not really kill you.
Yep. That's all you need. As what's his face on the Ringer? Chris Vernon on the Ringer says, you just need guys that don't suck. And it really is true. It really is true.
It's a great point.
So I also want to take a look at this. I was listening to the Nate Dunk and Danny LaRue basketball podcast, Dunked On, which I think, as far for information, let's just leave it at information. I think they do a really great job, probably one of the best out there in terms of just the research they do and being able to provide it in analytical context. And they were kind of reviewing the Nets offseason from last year in retrospect. And it got me thinking, looking back 2 years ago at the 2017-18 team and that roster, it was just so putrid when you look back at it. And the job the Nets have done in these 2 years, that Sean Marks and also Kenny Atkinson and helping develop the players that Sean Marks has been able to move, it's astounding. So I'm going to read you the guys that played for the Nets in the 2017 and 2018 season. I just want to get your reaction because you weren't with me at this time. This was the me and Gavin era.
Yeah, you and I were just friends back then, not co-hosts.
Now we're friends and colleagues.
Yes.
Quincy Acey, Jared Allen, Trevor Booker, friend of the pod, Damari Carroll, Alan Crabb, Dante Cunningham, Spencer Dinwiddie, Milton Doyle, Joe Harris, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, Sean Kilpatrick, Caris LeVert, Jeremy Lin, Timothy Mozgov, Jahlil Okafor, D'Angelo Russell, Nick Stauskas, Rashad Vaughn, James Webb III, Isaiah Whitehead, Jacob Wiley, and Tyler Zeller.
Wow, my first reaction was that, A, that's a lot of names. Like, so they clearly, like, churned through a bunch of guys, but I somewhat forgot that the Jahlil Okafor thing happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was, like, I kind of felt bad for him because the Nets acquired him, and it's like, okay, you know, it didn't go well with Philly, but he's still only a season removed from averaging 17-8 as a rookie, even though those are very flawed numbers. But Sean Marks and Atkinson clearly just looked at him as basically a salary dump. They didn't give him really any minutes to sink his teeth into, and it was kind of a foregone conclusion that he was going to be gone at the end of the year. So I did feel a little bit bad for him as such a young player who just goes to his second team, maybe a candidate as a guy didn't work out on his first team, but now he gets a shot, and the Nets really just didn't give him a shot.
Yeah, and it was ironic because they did give a guy like D'Angelo Russell a shot who was in the same draft, and obviously that worked out incredibly well. But yeah, I mean, Okafor just wasn't at the time really suited to the modern game. He did kind of bounce back with New Orleans though. So
yeah, I love when we traded for Okafor, and I saw people on Twitter saying, we have the number 2 and 3 picks from that draft. What is this? I was like, well, it's because their teams both gave up on them. Obviously, D'Lo ended up working out. But I think the thing for me is just like the talent on this roster was so barren. I was getting super excited when they signed Jacob Wiley to a two-way. Like, that's kind of what was happening to me at that point. Like, I just needed something to sink my teeth into. At D'Lo, that first season with the Nets was pretty bad. Obviously, he had an amazing glow-up last year, but it wasn't like people were super high on him. LeVert was very inconsistent, injury-prone. Joe Harris, people didn't think too much of. Dinwiddie just had come off that first season with the Nets where he was a solid backup, but people didn't know what kind of scorer he would be. Like, this is a team when they came into the season, everyone was hyping up Crabb as a guy that was going to be able to drop 18 or 20 a game. He was kind of like their big ticket offseason addition when they got him in the trade with Andrew Nicholson from Portland. Like, that's kind of what our expectations were as Nets fans. Like, just hoping one of these guys would pop. And 2 years later to see the team that they've built, it's really incredible. And regardless of how this season goes, even if they only win 44 to 46 games, which I think is most likely without KD, that consistency that they've been able to build and just the upside of the roster when everyone's healthy, it's truly remarkable. You know, I think it's hard for us to put in perspective how good of a job Marxism has done. Markskinson, it's a tongue twister, has done. But I think this puts it into perspective.
Yeah, and just like looking at all the names, like other than D'Lo, who they kind of like pseudo traded for Kevin Durant, like there's no one on the roster that you listed who you're like, oh, I wish they'd kept that guy, or like letting go of that guy was a mistake. Like the guys they kept are guys like Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Caris LeVert, and that's really it. So, and Jared Allen. So like those are like big core pieces going forward, and like everyone else is kind of either a veteran or a young guy who didn't work out. And so, yeah, I think they've made kind of every correct decision that they've had to get here.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm a big fan of Sean Kilpatrick, hashtag undrafted.
Kill magic.
Skill magic. Yeah, but besides that, as you mentioned, no one really like, I feel like people were really waiting for Rondé to break out of this group. People were excited when Milton Doyle got caught up. Like, it was dark days as a Nets fan, and we've really come a very long way in this new era. Dante Cunningham would actually be nice to have as a bench piece, but we're not going to lose sleep over not having Dante Cunningham.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the four guys you would want, other than, again, D'Lo, are all here. So,
absolutely. So we're going to take a quick break, and then coming up, we will talk about the Team USA dropouts.
Welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast. This is segment three. Josh let me tee up this segment. He's very gracious. He's very giving, very generous. So I'm going to introduce this topic for you all. Team USA is kind of like the main thing going on in the summer right now, and there's been a ton of guys who've dropped out. Kevin Love just withdrew his name yesterday, and he joined the likes of guys like Anthony Davis, James Harden, Damian Lillard, so many more who have kind of like pulled out of competition. And so it's kind of called into question whether or not the U.S. is like going to make a big run in the World Cup, whether or not like Team USA is kind of like the carrot that it used to be, where kind of like all the big guys would all play in that. Whereas before that, I think it was mostly just college guys and like kind of unheard of guys. So are we going back to that era? Is the age of USA basketball's dominance coming to an end, Josh?
No. I feel like, am I the only one that doesn't care about the Team USA thing? Like, people get pretty mad, I feel like, when some of the big stars drop out. I'm like, these guys play 82 games, or it's an 82-game season. They don't play all of it, but their basketball is so much more intense than it was back then, just due to the spacing on offense. On defense, you're having to move around all the time, consistently being engaged. A lot of these top guys are playing in the playoffs where it's just completely grueling. I don't blame them if they want to have a rest in the summer and they actually want to enjoy it, recover, and get back into shape, just because I feel like, frankly, it's a lot more strenuous to play a full season than it was back in the Dream Team era.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame any of these players like at all. Obviously, they can do whatever they want, but like on a single guy level, like, it makes sense, like, oh, this one guy wants to withdraw. But I think it's kind of noteworthy that it's like a bunch of players. And I think I don't remember what podcast I was listening to, but someone said that it kind of speaks to the openness of this upcoming season, where guys think like, oh, this is like my chance to win a title. And maybe Damian Lillard is thinking like, okay, like, Portland actually could get to the finals and win the title this year, so I need to like really lock in, really focus. Anthony Davis obviously has to gel with his new teammates. And that's the case for a lot of guys like James Harden, too. So I think it is noteworthy that it's been so many guys. And, like, it really hit home for me when I saw the report a couple days ago that, like, Marcus Smart was being invited to Team USA training camp. I was like, wow, that's like another level of player. So,
yeah, Marcus Smart, Thaddeus Young, PJ Tucker, and Julius Randle also, even though he put up nice stats. Like, yeah, I'm looking at it now. I guess the best player is Kemba Walker.
He's good. He's an all-star.
Yeah. An all-star, yeah. I don't know. I think it's fine. Like, this isn't the Olympics or anything like that, you know. I do think that it's important. But I think it's also great that other teams throughout the throughout both kind of like all of Europe pretty much, and then other parts of the globe are really starting to step up. You know, you have really good teams, kind of obviously Spain and France, and then Argentina as well have kind of been the second tier of teams, obviously U.S. being alone in the first tier, but as other teams now, like Canada has started to step up, Latvia, Lithuania as well. I think it's great that there's now a plethora of NBA players on multiple of these teams, and that it's not something where the U.S. can steamroll every tournament.
Yeah, and there's even like guys like Jokic for Serbia, Luka Doncic for Slovenia. So there's like a lot of teams where they could be on the rise also, like the next coming year. So I guess, I don't know. Like, seeing all these guys drop out makes me wonder if that's going to happen next year with the Olympics, too. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit different. And I feel like these guys still want to do it, but they might just not want to do it every time. So I think it kind of starts at the top. Like, if guys like LeBron, obviously KD can't play now, but if those types of guys, LeBron, KD, AD, Harden, if those guys want to play, then it kind of becomes like a thing where everyone else is clamoring for. Once the top guys drop out, you're like, eh, maybe it's if you're Tobias Harris, you're like, okay, you know what? If they're not doing it, then maybe I shouldn't do it. Even though I think for him, it's like, this is probably one of your only shots. I would get in right now. But, you know, everyone has their own choices. I frankly just don't care enough about it, especially when it's not the Olympics. I don't get riled up over that kind of thing.
Does this rile you at all? I saw on The Jump, I think it was two nights ago now, they were talking about, could this be like a spot for Olympic Melo to make his return? Like if Carmelo Anthony joins Team USA for this World Cup, maybe plays really well, could he like parlay that into an NBA contract? What do you think about that?
I think it's very unlikely, but if he can do it, then you know what? Good for him. I don't know. I do feel bad with the way everything ended for Melo.
Yeah. I mean, he, I don't think he was like terrible. I mean, he was like in the wrong role kind of, but if he's like willing to accept a different role, I still think he could be productive.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost funny because I feel like role players can bounce around a lot, but if you're like a really good player and you take a big drop off, then it's like no one wants to. Like no one wanted Chris Paul, like Westbrook. There were a couple teams that were interested in him, and those guys are still like miles better than what Melo was by the end. But it's funny how that works out. Like Dwight Howard, like he's become a cancer and someone that no one wants on their team. It's almost like if you're a star and then you fall off, it's like more prohibitive than if you were a role player and you drop off slightly, but you're the same level as that star player is now.
Yeah, there's guys like Vince Carter and Pau Gasol who just signed a contract who like went from being top tier guys and then kind of have peeled it back as they've gotten older. But I feel like that's super rare. Like mm-hmm. most guys are like the Kobe types where they'll just go out shooting.
Shoot or shoot. And Marcus, podcasters pod. And that is what we did today. Of course, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at @JMBass_. Marcus is at Marcus Barahal. You can find the podcast at Locked On Nets. We will be with you this entire summer. Marcus, maybe me and you need to get together and do a live pod because also I haven't seen your face in a while and want to chill as I've been on the road. Maybe we'll do that and then do some sort of mailbag or whatever you guys want us to talk about, let us know. Obviously, this is a slower time of year. We're going to try to get some interviews coming up, really analyze what the Nets are going to look like this season and the seasons following when KD will be back in full force. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast feed. Rate and review us. Tell us how we're doing. We hope it's well. But until next time, be well.
Bye.